Hello and welcome to this week's Ukraine Calling program. I'm Oksana Smerichuk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. We'll have a roundup of the weekly news for you, some culture and some music. We're bringing you a feature interview with Roman Shved, a veteran radio host, both in Kyiv and in the USA. But first, as always, the news. It's been an active week for negotiations on the war situation. On November the 13th, the two special envoys, Special U.S. Representative Kurt Volker and Russian envoy Vladislav Surkov, met in Belgrade to discuss efforts how to end the war in the Donbas region. Unsurprisingly, perhaps, the conclusion was that both countries have different concepts on how to make peace. Both sides agreed to reflect on their discussions and to think about further ways to address this challenge. One issue raised was potentially deploying international peacekeeping forces in the parts of Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts that are now occupied by Russia-backed separatists. After the meeting, Envoy Surkov said that the U.S. side has presented 29 paragraphs commenting on the Russian proposals for peacekeepers. The Russian side had found only three of them acceptable. The Russian proposal presented in September had been to deploy Russian peacekeepers along the front line separating Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed separatist forces. Ukraine and Western countries criticized this plan because it would cement Russian control over separatist-held territory. Discussions have once again been opened on the possible exchange of hostages and POWs with Russia. Russian President Putin called the leaders of the self-proclaimed DNR and LNR groups in the Donbas to talk about the exchange of prisoners between the separatist territories and Ukraine. Ukraine's humanitarian envoy to the peace talks in Minsk, Irina Heraschenko, commented that Ukraine is ready to take part in a prisoner swap as long as the Russian side does not demand prisoners who are outside of the framework of Minsk. For example, Berkut Special Forces officers who were charged with crimes during the Maidan. Heraschenko had noted that 157 Ukrainian citizens remain prisoners of the Russian-backed militants in occupied Donbas. She also commented that it was time to unlock prisoner release within the Minsk process, as it was quite a while, 14 months, since the last exchange of prisoners. The past week saw a wave of bomb hoaxes that disrupted public transport and forced the evacuation of numbers of people. On Friday, the 10th of November, police received bomb hoax calls that led to the closing of 9 airports across Ukraine. 2 very busy metro stations in central Kyiv had to temporarily close as well due to bomb hoaxes. After thorough searches of the airports and the metro stations by police, no explosive devices were found. Officials from the security services of Ukraine have established that many of these hoax calls, seemingly from Ukrainian numbers, were actually originating from Russia or from the occupied territories in Donbas or from Crimea. In these cases, sophisticated technologies were used to disguise long-distance calls as local. The SBU, in their statement, said that 28 hoax calls of this type had been recorded in the past week. They noted that this was yet another part of hybrid warfare with the goal of increasing tensions in Ukraine. Despite the number of artillery attacks on the front line being reduced over the last week, Ukrainian military officials say that the situation remains tense. Pro-Russia forces have reportedly been trying to engage in prolonged confrontations with Ukrainian military units. As a result, 6 Ukrainian servicemen were wounded. In addition, some civilian casualties in the anti-terrorist operation zone have been reported. In particular, on November the 12th, a resident of Donetsk was found dead in Mariinka, Donetsk region. According to investigators, the victim was killed by a tripwire. And on the 13th of November, the ATO press service reported a woman was wounded by a landmine explosion. OSCE monitors say that the civilian casualty rate has exceeded 400 persons since the beginning of the year. This week, the Verkhovna Rada voted to make December 25th a statutory holiday. Ukraine will still keep its 2 days off on January 7th and 8th to celebrate Christmas according to the Orthodox Christian calendar, but a holiday on the 25th of December is seen as being in deference to those celebrating according to the Western Christian calendar. It is also seen as bringing Ukraine more in sync with holidays and working days in Europe and other Western countries. Ukrainians will still have the same number of statutory days off since the Labor Day holiday, which used to be a very important holiday in the Soviet calendar, has now been shortened from 2 days to one. And a Ukrainian chess master is boycotting a world championship in Saudi Arabia because of restrictions on women's rights there. Anna Muzychuk, who is Ukraine's double reigning world-class champion, will not travel to compete in the Rapid and Blitz Chess Championship despite a record amount of prize money being offered. Muzychuk is currently ranked second in the world in Rapid Chess and third in Blitz. She is protesting the state of human rights and women's rights in Saudi Arabia. And now for our feature interview. Bohdan Mihailo speaks to Roman Shved, a radio personality, both in Philadelphia and Kyiv.
Well, my guest on this week's edition of Ukraine Calling's in-depth discussion or interview is quite a celebrity here in Kyiv, Roman Shved, a veteran broadcaster, very well known to those interested in music, culture, and generally on the socio-cultural scene in Kyiv. Roman's just finished many, many years of broadcasting. He had his own program each Monday. He'll tell us a little bit about that. Roman, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I don't know if it's going to be morning. Whenever you're going to play, it'll be fine.
Depends good which morning. Part of the world they're listening in.
Well, good hello to everybody.
Okay, Roman, you're... Tell us where you're from originally. Obviously, from the accent, you're from somewhere out west.
Well, yes. I was born in Lviv in 1940, so I'm one of these older guys. And I left at age 44, not age 4, I'm sorry, year 44. But I came back to Ukraine, but not to Lviv, but to Kyiv. In 1994, 50 years later. So I've been outside of Ukraine for all that time, and now for the last 23 years I've lived in Ukraine, in Kyiv.
So you were one of the first of the diaspora people, the post-war generation that ended up in the United States, Britain, Australia, etc., who actually came back once independence was declared.
Well, one of the big surprises was I don't think anybody... certainly not me, expected Ukraine to ever be free. And I expected the Soviet Union to kind of crumble during my lifetime. So for me, this is like a bonus.
But you grew up like all of us. I'm somewhat younger, not that much younger, but somewhat younger. We all grew up in diaspora communities. You in Philadelphia, I understand.
Yeah,
I in Britain.
Initially. But anyway, so I came back to Ukraine only because I had this, I think it was a need more than anything else. I just had to do this. So I came back. It was
a spiritual, cultural thing.
Yeah, very much so. I always worked in the Ukrainian community. I mean, anybody in Philadelphia and even in Florida, they all know me because I was Roman Shved.
But tell us, Philadelphia, that had a large Ukrainian presence and community, and some very famous people ended up there and emerged from there.
Absolutely. There were artists there, you know. I'm talking about physical artists, you know, guys who painted paintings and художні роботи, as they say in Ukrainian. And the whole community was, in the first place, it was very, very strong. In Philadelphia at the time, just before I was leaving, they had about 11 parishes. Which is a lot of people. When you take about 200, 300 people per parish, that's just the city itself. And then you have the environs, which would be like, we call that the Delaware Valley, in the Delaware Valley. So we had about 700,000 people there just at one time. But then, of course...
700,000?
Yeah. Because
America, in the city, not Ukrainians.
No. City had 3 million people.
Oh, so did you, the Ukrainians?
We had
the
invite. The whole Delaware Valley was, and in Philly itself, we had maybe 70,000-80,000 people for sure that were Ukrainians. So from that standpoint, it was okay.
Now tell us your interest in music. As I recall, we discussed that in Philadelphia, you had young poets and musicians like now forgotten Ihor Shankovsky, whom you knew.
Well, I knew him, of course. He was much older. Well, much older when you're 20 and somebody is 28, 30, that's much younger. Yeah. You know, you kind of accept that. But yeah, he was a good singer. He was very popular.
Oris Subtelny, the historian, was from Philadelphia, wasn't he? And a footballer.
Well, there was a joke. He also went with me to Mestechka Studia, and we always used to do all kinds of pranks. We were just kids, age 12, 11, you know. And they made a verse about it. It says, "O says halas pekelny, a tylko Szwedy subtelny." So there was even a joke about it.
What a noise. It's only Sweden subtelny to
that's
translate.
It. That's all it is.
What a fuss, yeah. But your own professional background, you were what, an architect?
I'm an architect.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I believe in logically building things from the bottom up, you know. Yeah. I don't start with the roof. I start with the basement.
So you were rebuilding cultural memory here.
And so when I came here, I thought that there would be some use for me. Apparently, it took a very long time because I met a fellow through Ihor Strachy, who was a radio guy, passed away, unfortunately, very talented boy. And Ihor introduced me to a fellow who was running Treti Kanal, the third channel, Kultura. And his name was Leonti Datsenko. And I talked with Leon, we were just chatting, you know, and I said to him, you know, one of the things that's really missing is Ukrainians don't understand diaspora, and the diaspora doesn't understand Ukrainians because nothing's ever said about them. They don't really, all they know is that some aunt came to the village. She took pictures at the cemetery, at the church, and, you know, a little with family, leaves their suitcases, and leaves after 2 weeks. But
Soviet policy was really to enforce this idea of we, they.
Yes,
we
yes,
here, the true Ukrainians, and they, the bourgeois nationalists.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I said to him, you know, you really should have a radio program that talks about these things and kind of, you know, we do a lot of things in diaspora, and nobody really knows that we do these. So Datsenko said to me, fine, you got a program. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have a program. I said,
what year was this?
This was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, okay. I said to him, what are you kidding me? He said, no, you have an hour once a week. What day would you like to have a program? And I'm saying, you're not kidding. He said, no. And I'm saying to myself, how am I going to do this? Because, you know, I don't have all the things. I only had some, what they call platyuki, the big long play
records,
albums.
The LPs.
Yeah. And so I went and I got them transferred. And I started my program with Kvitka Cisek. I played Kvitka Cisek music. And I could do that because Kvitka Cisek, her older sister, was a bridesmaid at my first wedding. And Kvitka Cisek was, I think, 15 or 17 at the time of the wedding, which was in 68, where she actually was at the wedding.
Wow. So, well, Kvitka Cisek, I mean, I'm sure most of our listeners know by now.
Oh,
the
sure.
Very famous. Singer from New York, yes?
Well, yes, New York. And
who became famous professionally as a singer for Ford and Coca-Cola.
For Ford, she was the voice of Ford. She was amazing.
But spent a lot of her own private money to record two albums of Ukrainian songs in her own very original,
stylized
manner.
Extremely beautiful. The arrangements were great. Her sister played on the piano. Her first husband was the sound engineer. Her second husband, her latest husband, I forget what he was. He was a producer or something.
Yes.
Anyway,
her dad was a famous violinist in the 30s.
I knew
Western
him
Europe.
And his wife. I mean, these people, you know, I've always touched shoulders with people who are famous. I'm the only guy who is Roman Shved. Oh, okay.
But you're famous here, Romana. That's why we're talking.
I'm not really famous.
So tell us, you know, because we have a lot to cover still. What was your aim? You wanted to build a bridge between the diaspora and Ukrainians in Ukraine. But what was the message that you really wanted to convey?
Well, I made a decision from the get-go, you know. I said to myself, one of the things that when you have talk radio, right? And I was going to have live air, and I had people calling in. So I figured one thing that you don't want to get into is religion. And the second thing you don't want to get into is politics, unless you want your listeners to argue amongst themselves. And that's stupid. It really serves no purpose. And so my idea was, let me do a nice positive show, something to show them, hey, listen, we do, you know, we in diaspora are proud of you. We are happy that we are free now. We are also happy. And I came here with the attitude, oh, it's not an attitude, it's an idea. I came here with the idea that I didn't come here to teach anything to anybody. I came here to share and learn from others. And so basically, it worked out for me because people very quickly understood that I'm not going to be calling any names of any minorities, religious or otherwise. I'm not going to get into politics. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to get into it. Forget it. I'm going to talk positive.
And you had a feature, I think, on Melania Savka.
Yes.
A very famous singer in the 60s.
Yeah, well, I knew her husband. And her sister-in-law, Katerina, went to school with me. They were Hutsuls, real honest-to-goodness, Zhabia, which they called Zhabia.
Right.
And it was really kind of interesting because Petro wanted to be a rock and roll singer.
The husband,
yeah, Petro Šekerik.
Okay, and let me just remind our listeners, I'm talking to Roman Šved, a veteran broadcaster who came to Ukraine in the 90s from Philadelphia, having been born originally in Ukraine, and ran a radio program for 13 years, and is telling us about his experiences. So also, what I noticed about your programs, and thank you for having me on your show when I first arrived here a few years ago, is that you managed to build a very strong bridge with the young generation of musicians in this country. And you're very popular amongst the most progressive, the most popular amongst the youth. Which for somebody of your young age is no mean achievement.
No, it's not easy. I realize that. Well,
What's the secret?
Well, the secret is you got to listen to their product. You have to really kind of understand where they're coming from. So the first kind of I liked Veve, you know,
yes,
Vido Plasova, and I liked Mandri, and I liked. I liked all of them, actually. Not everything they do, obviously. I pick songs that I like. And I would play their songs. And then I got to meet Serhii Fumenko, Fuma. And I said, Fuma, how would you like to be on my show? He was a young kid then. And so he had his woolen cap on his head. It was cold. It's winter. I bought him soup at Cupidon, I think, the restaurant that's around here. And so I had him on the air, and I had a great time with him, and he enjoyed it. And any time I asked him, he would come in. He would find time to come and see me. Another fellow, which I really floored him because he could never imagine what songs would I pick to play of his. And that was Skripka. Mr. Skripka was like he was laughing during the program because it was not anything like he was used to. I said to him, well, this is just a regular, you know. Well, let's face it. The name of the program is Roman Has a Kind of Nice Party. And it's Roman Has a Nice Kind of Party, not Joe Schmo or something. It's Roman. So it's radio. I'm a radio personality.
Yeah.
And I pick people and I talk with them about things that I like. And but that was my downfall. That's why I'm not on the radio anymore, because I was
too personalized.
I guess. No, I don't think it was because too personalized. I don't think that the leadership really understands what personality radio is. They know about a
leadership of which radio? Now, who was the program for?
The original Nacionalna Radio Kompania Ukraine, the National Radio Company of Ukraine, was who I worked for.
Anyway, you became an institution here, and I can vouch for the fact that you have many fans, and we do miss your program. But after your program on Mondays, it was your tradition to go to the nearby restaurant, Cupidon.
Yes,
and you would have your corner there, And you would...
I had my table.
You had your table and you would, in a sense, hold court. Well, many of your fans would come up to you.
Some would come up, but some weren't even fans of the radio. They maybe listened on a computer later on, you know, yeah. in the archives. But really, it was just... I think I became kind of a... In Ukrainian, say maskotka, you know.
Yeah, it's a mascot.
Basically, yeah.
As we said at the beginning, as we suggested, you know, somebody of your generation who came from the diaspora but managed to integrate themselves so fully and to be a voice not only of the past but of the present, that is an achievement.
Well, I thank you for the kind words. It wasn't easy. I try to say that it's easy, but it's not easy. It took me all week to think about how I was going to do my program. I never wrote anything down. There was never a script. It was all basically the program was always in my head, basically. But I tried to bring to their attention, like when Canadians were celebrating their 125th anniversary and then 150th anniversary, I would make a special program about it, hoping that some Canadians would call me. And one time I did get a long-distance call. Just, you know, I found out later on that it's very difficult to call in at that hour. My program was on at what they call 18 hours, which is 6 p.m.
Kyiv time.
Yeah, Kyiv time.
Okay, Romana, we have to start concluding now.
Let's do that.
Let's, you know, put your thinking cap on or hat and the changes that you've seen in the last 25 years, you know. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good, the positive things.
Well, the good is that there are changes going on. It's very difficult to see, because if you're here on a daily basis and don't leave and come back, then it's now I've had a chance to do that because I had, as you know, I had a stroke, and I was in the States for a while, recuperating, etc. So when I came back, you can really see some changes. Some good changes, there are many more people can buy a new car. And the bad changes, nobody is doing anything about how people should drive, where they should park, etc. Let's put it this way. It's not enough to have a constitution. You have to have laws that support the constitution and kind of give it a basis. You can't have a police force.
Independent judiciary as well.
Yes, but you can't have a police force and not have laws that they can enforce and have protection. People laugh at them. Well, not all people, but some people. And it's a shame. It's not fair because they're young people. Maybe they're trying to do a good job. Nobody's given them a break. What's positive? What I found positive was on my program anyway, the people who called in, they kind of supported my idea of being positive about Ukraine, because Ukraine has gone through terrible times, and just the last 72 years of communism were enough to make anybody sick. So really, we're doing fine. I was hoping that more good things would have happened in the last 26 years. They should have. They haven't.
The pace of change has been disappointingly slow.
Slow. But the point, you know, somebody said to me, well, you know, it's all this corruption. I said, well, you know, all countries that go through that kind of a change from total hunger to all of a sudden I can get 3 inches of butter on my piece of bread, people change and greed kicks in. That there is this thing and there's nothing you can do about it. And so to me, 26 years is really, you know, we're teenagers as a country goes. Maybe not even teenagers. Maybe we're still in sixth grade, seventh grade. So it's going to take a while. I feel positive about Ukraine. I don't know why. I feel positive. I feel, if I had a radio program right now, I would be saying, stop looking. My grandmother used to say, don't look for holes in the sky. Don't look for holes in the sky. We have a big problem. We're being attacked from the east. We've lost Crimea and all this. And you're thinking about how can you get somebody else out of office and come in and start stealing on your own. And you have to be kind of judicious in what you do. You have to kind of say, okay, maybe he didn't sell this chocolate factory, but look at all the things he did. So there has to be a balance. And sometimes you shouldn't cut your nose to spite your face. And this is what they're doing. And I find it to be kind of a shame. It's really a shame they shouldn't do that. But they're doing it nevertheless, so.
Romania, thank you very much. I've been speaking to Roman Schwed, originally from Lviv, spent his youth in Philadelphia, came back to Ukraine at...
54 years old.
Yes, I was going to say at an advanced age.
Yes.
at a mature age.
Mature
and,
age,
yeah. And ran, among other things, a radio program here for 13 years, but also was a great figure in charity and fundraising, and we didn't
Rotary.
Even mention the Rotary, etc. Romana, thanks so much, and thank you for your contribution over the years.
Well, thank you for having me, and goodbye, y'all. I hope you enjoyed the program.
The Telnyuk sisters have iconic status on Ukraine's music scene. Lesya and Halya, who actually are sisters, began writing music at age 13 and performing together from 1986. They won awards at the first independent Ukrainian music festival, Chervona Ruta, in 1989, and many more after that. They now have a new show. It's called Shlyakh do Svobody, which means The Path to Freedom. It's a combination of their music and a book, Chronicles of Eyewitnesses, 9 months of Ukraine's resistance. These are eyewitness accounts of events in Ukraine from November 2013 through to the summer of 2014. That's from the beginning of the Euromaidan protests through the early months of the war that Russia began against Ukraine. The show is touring Ukraine. And last Wednesday, they performed it in Kyiv and on Saturday the 18th at Kharkiv's Regional Philharmonic Organ Hall. Watch for other stops on this tour. And for those of you who like to explore new restaurants, you might want to check out Shade Burger in Poltava in central Ukraine. It won the 2017 Restaurant and Design Award. We'll post a link to an article about this, which has just appeared in Business Ukraine on our website, where you can see photos as well. Yura Samovilov was born in a suburb of Donetsk. In the summer of 2014, when war came to his hometown, he left and now lives in Kyiv. He speaks Russian, but creates music in Ukrainian. And recently, Yura released a new mini-album called Malenka Kvitka, A Little Flower. My favorite track is called Чому пінгвіни живуть зимою без своїх фантазій, which means, why do penguins live without their imaginations in winter? Yura wrote the lyrics and music and performs the vocals and guitar. The trumpet part is played by Oleksandr Szymanski. Enjoy.
Робі, відпусти, бо я відпускаю на маленька квітка, ростима у тобі, ростима у мені, яку пустелі залиши, бо я залишаю на. Ти житимеш мені, ти житимеш мені, ти житимеш. Збиратиму кості, змітатиму листя, йтиму в гості, подивись, ти бачиш ті риси.
маленька квітка, водитиму в школу, сидітиму поруч, ламатиму голову. Подивись, ти ж знаєш ті риси. Ти житимеш мені, ти житимеш мені, ти житимеш. Ти житимеш мені, ти житимеш мені. Ти житимеш.
Next week, Bohdan Mihailo will be hosting this show, and we'll be back with even more news, culture, and music. So tune in again for a new edition of Ukraine Calling. We'd be happy to receive any feedback from you. You can write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Oksana Smerechuk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.